insurance products. Insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX-4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times. We're one step closer to war around Israel. We're one step closer to the mark of the beast. We're one step closer to total church apostasy, which means we're one step closer to the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, December 5th, 2025. You can listen or watch any of our episodes again. You can share them with a skeptical friend. You can read the articles we talk about or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net or grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who has a special senior citizen GPS. Not only does it tell him how to get to his destination, but it reminds him why he wanted to go there in the first place. And that's Pastor Mark, who recently went to a diner and asked for an all-American breakfast. So they brought out French toast with an English muffin and Canadian bacon.
I like it.
You're just probably hungry, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yes. No, I just ate, actually. I had a late lunch. So April, I'm actually doing good on the food thing, but I like the jokes.
Okay, so, very good. Yes. They're tasty.
Yes, tasty jokes.
Tasty jokes. Okay, yes. Well, I think we'll just go ahead and dive right in. We've got a lot of articles and a lot of good listener questions to talk about today, so we shall get going. All right, we've got one article in our Israel category this week, Pastor Mark, and this comes from the Jerusalem Post, dated November 22nd. Hamas says ceasefire over as the IDF thwarts a yellow line breach. What does all of this mean, and who's at fault here?
Yeah, again, whenever they reach this supposed ceasefire there in Gaza, with Israel, they have what they call a yellow line that Israel established, and it's something you've got to have really in any war or working through a peace deal, and that is, here's a line nobody crosses, okay? In other words, Israel is not going to go across this line until everything's settled. You're not going to come across this line. Here's the line in the sand, we might call it. Better probably line in the sand. And so they made a yellow line saying, look, we will not fire on you guys. The ceasefire has begun. But don't cross this line right here. Here's your area. And let the leadership of Gaza know very clearly. Hamas know, don't cross this line. Because what they do is, Hamas will kind of get up there and act like they're just, oops, didn't mean to cross over. And then they kill a soldier. Or they detonate themselves or some kind of bomb. So, you know, they have to keep a far enough distance where they can't do that. So the yellow line was in place. Well, the yellow line has been breached multiple times by Hamas. Israel has never breached anything. It's Hamas breaching it. Israel responds and takes out the bad guys. Well, recently, Hamas, they came up out of the tunnels. They breached the yellow line. They attacked and killed some soldiers. So Israel came in and did an airstrike and took out one of their main leaders again right now. As they shift these guys, they have to get new leaders every other week because they keep getting taken out. But they took another new leader out, Hamas, in a strike. And so that made Hamas mad. And now they're acting like they're the righteous ones. You know, you went too far, and now the ceasefire is over. So listen to what they say. Amid Hamas attempts to breach Gaza's yellow line and subsequent IDF activities to thwart the terrorists, Hamas informed U.S. Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff that the ceasefire had ended. So what they're saying is, we're done. We're back at war. This is going to be interesting to see how President Trump responds to this. And Israel, you want to go to war? They're going to go to war. They don't want to, but they're going to go to war. And again, this is where we are on this thing. It says the Saudi state-owned paper reported it on Saturday. I quote, "The agreement is over, and Hamas is ready to fight," sources told the Saudi outlet, adding that the ceasefire must be mutual and that Gaza will not become another Lebanon. What do you mean ceasefire? The ceasefire is mutual. Here's what drives me. I mean, it just drives me nuts.
Yes.
They break the ceasefire. And then when you shoot them and stop them because they're coming to kill you, then you're not keeping your end of the deal. What is my end of the deal, to let you walk up and kill all of our people? No, that's not the deal. The deal is, you stay on your side, we stay on our side, and we work out the agreement here. You're coming across your side, yeah, and you're killing our people. So don't pull this. You're not keeping your part. Yes, we're keeping our part. We're gonna take you out if you try to kill our people. Shortly after, an analyst for Hezbollah-affiliated Lebanese outlet reported that Hamas leader Khalil al-Haya was heading a Hamas delegation that would arrive in Cairo, Egypt, in the coming hours. Now, notice what they're doing. They're trying to go back to these leaders publicly, like Trump did when he came over and brought them all together to announce the ceasefire. They're going to try to go to get backing. Well, we're officially unannouncing it. So this is going to get very, very interesting. Trump doesn't like that. He's got his pride. These guys, Hamas, they're evil. So this is going to get very interesting. According to Dali, the delegation aims to coordinate with Arab states to bolster the Palestinian position against Israel. The analyst did not mention whether the delegation would address the reported ending of a ceasefire. Earlier, El Arabia, again, their news outlet there, reported that an IDF strike on Saturday killed Abu Abdullah Hadadi. The operations staff commander of the Al-Qassam brigades in Gaza. Now, why did they strike and kill Abu Abdullah? Because, again, they crossed the yellow line, they breached it, and they killed some Israeli soldiers. So it's nuts. It's like saying, somebody breaks into your house and they kill one of your family members and you shoot them and you say, well, now, again, you've crossed the line. You use self-defense in your own home. That's unacceptable. We're going to go before the courts and say they cannot use self-defense in their homes. We should be allowed to kill their family, and this is unacceptable. That's how ridiculous this is. It drives me nuts. But here's why it's so effective. And Satan knows this. Look, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but power and principalities in heavenly places. I know this. But Satan knows that most people don't do their homework.
Yeah.
Most people don't. Matter of fact, matter of fact, Greg, mostly the church doesn't do their homework. Why did the Lord say, my people perish?
Yeah.
Due to what?
Not the world.
A lack of knowledge. Yep. My people. And if God's people aren't doing their homework, what do you think the world's doing? So here's all you have to do. Throw it out there. Israel's doing this, doing that. And rather than doing the homework to find out what's really going on, yeah, why are they doing that? We hate them more. We hate them more. And even the church, they're hating them. This is where Satan is so effective. He is an excellent slanderer. If you can make any compliments, is there anything you can compliment Satan on? Yes, I think he's one of the best slanderers you'll ever come across. He's very, very good at it. He's excellent. That he excels in slander.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a slander for your corporation, he could be your CEO. But yeah, it just drives me nuts to see this stuff because it's so effective in the way that slander works, and it's so damaging. But again, that's why we rejoice that the Lord is on the throne. He will defend Israel. The whole world's about to be shocked real soon when Russia and Iran get wiped out, when they move in on Israel, and you wish they would repent. They won't, but it's going to be I'm ready for the rapture, and I want to go. I'd love to see that battle. Be the news reports, the cameras, here they're moving in and watch what God does. I know we'll see it from heaven.
Yeah, in one way or another, yeah.
We will see it from heaven, so I know we're going to get to see it. I realize that. So I don't know. Part of me wants to see it in my flesh. I don't know. Either way, it's going to happen. So I'm just glad the Lord's on the throne.
Amen. All right, what's coming to America this week from Newsweek, dated November 20th, Illinois rolls out digital ID and driver's license. What we need to know.
Yes, and this again is going to start with the iPhone, and it's going to move us. Samsung and Google, I don't think yet can do this, but they're starting with the iPhone. The reason I bring that up.
Yeah.
Is you had Neil Diamond there.
Neil Diamond, yes.
Right, and so this reminds me of the song. Remember the song he did, Samsung Blues?
Yes.
So maybe this has something to do with that. I don't know. But either way, Samsung Blues, everybody owns one. All right, here we go. It says, Illinois has become the largest U.S. state to widely... You'll never hear that song the same again. I'm sorry. I just ruined it for everyone.
Thank you for that.
Yes. Illinois. I know. Yeah. Illinois has become the largest U.S. state to widely implement digital driver's licenses and state IDs. Now, isn't it interesting that when you see things that are... Look... Digital stuff, technology is great without Satan. But with Satan, it's going to be used in evil ways. So technology by itself is not bad. But isn't it interesting to see? We know this is going to be used with the mark of the beast, this kind of technology. Isn't it interesting to see some of the states that are the most, again, almost you'd almost say demonically led?
Progressive.
Are leading the way. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? It's like I look at these states and go, who's leading the way in the mark of the beast? Illinois. Anyway, the shift to digital driver's license and state IDs marks a significant step in modernizing government services and public identification. It positions Illinois at the forefront of the digital ID adoption, a trend already underway in over a dozen states, and they're guaranteed by Satan a discount on every single purchase. Although the change aims to increase convenience, improve privacy. How's it going to improve privacy? Look at these things. Look how politics presents things. We're going to get something that will reveal all of your information, even down to what your cell structure
but
is.
But it improves
privacy. Because
we're
giving you more privacy. It's like the Affordable Care Act. Nobody could afford it. All right. Although the change aims to increase convenience, improve privacy, and simplify identification processes, it also raises important questions about security, privacy, and future technological integration. Residents can now add their driver's license or state ID to the Apple Wallet, their iPhone, or their Apple Watch, allowing them to present it at 250 TSA security checkpoints, including Chicago's O'Hare, Lambert, and Midway airports, select businesses, and online services. Again, it says the Secretary of State, Alexei, some big long name. This launch brings together...
From Russia?
No, this is like...
Oh.
Gianna Lulius.
Oh, okay.
So, there you go. Gianna Lulius. Alexia Gianna Lulius. This launch brings together security, privacy, and convenience in a way that will make life easier for millions of people. We promised innovative solutions, and today we're delivering... Anyway, Jennifer Bailey, Apple's vice president of Apple Pay and Apple Wallet, said driver's licenses and state IDs in Apple Wallet bring users one step closer toward replacing the physical wallet with an easy, secure, and private mark on the hand or the forehead. Again, I'm adding to the article. You can read the real article when you look it up online. Sorry.
Yeah.
That wasn't in there either. Secure and private digital wallet. And we're thrilled to bring it to Illinois today. Again, it's not going to be with Samsung yet. So I said Samsung Blues,
well,
but maybe it's a good thing.
The rollout will soon include support for Google and Samsung.
Yeah, it will.
It'll get there.
It will. So you can sing the song a little bit longer.
Well, I was going to say, while I'm trying to get Samsung Blues out of my head, Pastor Mark, can you imagine, though, let's go back 5 years... At the beginning of COVID.
He looks so much younger.
Actually, not the beginning of COVID. Beginning of the vaccine rollout.
Yes.
And remember, it was all about these vaccine passports or these vaccine verification cards
right.
or whatever they called.
Right.
And you had to, in order to gain access to certain buildings or places,
right.
you had to show proof. Could you imagine if the technology was where it's at now, if it was that way... You know, 4 or 5 years ago,
yeah.
how they might have been able to do this more expediently electronically.
Well, think about the next thing. When the next thing happens,
yes.
they will.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
I mean, I'm saying this is, listen, once they get this in place, Illinois is leading the way.
Yeah.
Once everybody gets this in place, and again, let me say this again. Again, technology and digital, these can all be positive things if it wasn't for evil.
If it wasn't used for evil.
Yeah,
yes.
but here's the bottom line. Everybody's going to do this. And I'm not saying this is not the mark of the beast. If you get on your iPhone,
it's a precursor.
Yeah, but it's what it is. It's the technology for when you take that mark on the hand of the forehead
yeah.
to link everything together, and they're going to know everything about you, where you are, yeah. what you're doing, tracking you, and all this kind of stuff. It's going to be really, really. It's very private.
Very private. Yes.
Yeah, for the government.
For the government. Yes. All right. Our next article comes from Newsweek, dated, this is back from September, I guess. So I guess this is an article we did not get to, but it says a Republican bill seeks to ban Sharia law in the United States.
See, I think this is great. You shouldn't have to do this. We have the Constitution of the United States. So you shouldn't have to ban another form of legal law in our country. Well, let me tell you what's going on for our listeners so that everybody's on the same page. I'm sure most of you have heard about Sharia law. It's the Islamic law that comes under Islam. And of course, the way they're approaching it is everybody has freedom of religion. We don't tell Christians how to do their churches. No, that's not what's happening here. Christians don't have civil governmental law in place by what we believe in the Bible. We have moral law and we worship God, but we don't have civil governmental law trying to run our cities and our states. That's what Sharia is. Sharia is a civil form of governmental law based on Islam that replaces what we would call our constitution, our regular laws. I mean, they literally in Sharia, they have the right to put people to death, to beat them. This is not like my religion. I think, you know, you're trying to tell me what I can read and not read. This is not that. So they're going to present this, Greg, as you're infringing on us. Back away. We have this right, like Christians and everyone else. But that's a lie. This is totally different. This is saying we want to present a brand new constitution of the United States, but it's the constitution of Sharia, a new law, a civil law that people have to be under and obey legally. So understand the difference here. Again, two Republican lawmakers have introduced the legislation seeking to ban the enforcement of Sharia law in the United States, arguing the measure is necessary to preserve constitutional principles and American culture. Now, you shouldn't have to do this. The Constitution already has done this. But this is so good. I've been waiting. Would somebody please do this? I hope this bill passes because even though they shouldn't have to do this, even though the Constitution is in place, we need something that legally recognizes, no, we won't do Sharia law or any other law or UK law or anybody else's law or Buddhist law. We're doing a Constitution. The proposal called the No Sharia Act was announced this week by Florida Representative Randy Fine. It's a fine law.
Mm-hmm.
And Texas Representative Keith Self. And it says the bill reignites longstanding debates over the role of foreign and religious legal systems. And that's what this is. It is a legal system they're trying to bring into the U.S. courts, particularly regarding Islamic law, that is civil legal law. Supporters say it would protect the Constitution from being undermined, while critics warn it could fuel Islamophobia in the face of constitutional challenges. Again, they always throw these terms out there. If you point out something evil about Islam, then you're Islamophobic. If you point out something that's wrong somewhere, then you become the wrong thing rather than what it really is. The legislation would bar courts from enforcing any judgment, decree, or arbitration decision based on Sharia law or any foreign system that violates constitutional rights. According to the bill on X, formerly Twitter, they still have to say that, Fine said, Sharia law is not compatible with Western civilization, and we are not going to allow it in our country. I say amen to that. I just hope that's true. If you want to live in freedom, live in America. If you want the oppression of Sharia law, which it is oppressive, then go live in one of the countries where they practice it. Bingo!
Yeah.
I say hallelujah, praise the Lord to that.
Right.
Fine announced the proposed bill on X saying you don't get to come to this country and demand that our legal system accommodate your oppressive laws. Critics, including civil rights groups, are expected to counter the bill. That it unfairly targets Muslims and risks violating the First Amendment's protection of religious freedom. See how it's being presented? Nonsense. This isn't about religious freedom. These are civil laws in the courts they want to bring in.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor Mark, but as far as they're concerned, those that are proponents for Sharia law, which would be, you know, basically the Islamic religion, which is really what is
right
supporting it.
Right.
In their eyes, it's not just for the Muslim. If they want to enact Sharia law, if they believe that someone has violated their law,
right,
it doesn't matter if they're Muslim or not, correct?
No, their law trumps all laws of the earth because they believe that it's Allah and His law. And
right.
And their goal is to take the world over. They admit that Islam's goal is to take over the entire world.
Right.
And put the whole world under Sharia law.
So it's not...
So step by step is what they're trying to do.
Yeah, so Sharia law is not just for the Muslim. In their mind, Sharia law is for everybody, Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
And they even say that what's going to happen is they say that when Jesus, the prophet, their false Jesus they have in their religion, not the true Jesus in the Bible, that when he comes back, he's going to do away with even Gentiles or others, the infidels, to even be able to pay a tax. You're either going to convert to Islam or you're going to be put to death. And they have three options right now. You either convert to Islam under Sharia law, or you're put to death, or you can pay a high tax. They say that when their Jesus they have in their religion, which is not the Jesus of the Bible, he's going to come back and he's going to do away with even the tax portion of it, and he's going to agree with them that it's either convert to Islam or die.
Wasn't that the whole point of the Affordable Care Act? Well, if you don't want to participate in the act, then you're going to pay a higher tax.
Yeah, what we promised, you can still keep your Messiah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Yeah. Either way, anyway, but let me go on. Yes. Critics, including civil rights groups, are expected to counter the bill unfairly, targeting Muslims. We cannot have sets of laws, the other guys say that there's one set in the United States. It's called the U.S. Constitution, and the state laws under the states, of course. But we cannot have two different civilizations and different laws. That's what they want. And what they do is they come in, Greg, and they slowly take over. Okay, it grows like a cancer.
Which they're doing in Minnesota and Michigan.
Yes, and then you have this thing where once they get into power, you either submit. By the way, it's what it means. I mean, infatata is to submit. You submit to them and their belief system and their God, Allah, and that, or you die, or you pay high taxes.
I would much prefer to submit to an empanada.
I think that's a ruler of China, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that the Chinese ruler? What they call them, the empanada?
I don't know. I just know you put honey on it.
Oh.
So, anyway.
Well, history is not as much there. We're going to stick with them, obviously.
Okay. So glad we've almost made it. We've almost made it. Not yet. We've got to get through some things in our One World Government views, and this comes from apnews.org, dated September 29th. This is a piggyback off of our earlier story.
Yes.
That happened in Illinois. Digital ID is now required to work in the United Kingdom.
Yes.
The Brit card scheme explained.
Yes. Britain will require all workers to have a digital identification card by the end of this parliamentary term. Prime Minister Keir Starmer announced Friday, marking the country's first mandatory ID system since World War II. And by the way, it's going to start on a card. It's going to move to the hand of the forehead. It tells us that in Revelation. Let me spell it out, he says. You will not be able to work in the United Kingdom if you do not have a digital ID. Starmer told the Global Progress Action Summit in London, attended by leaders including Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. So, again, this whole thing, it's happening worldwide. It's going to happen worldwide, and eventually the Antichrist will lead it up.
Okay.
Not much to say on that. Our
next article comes from MSN.com, dated November 23rd. Germany wants to build Europe's strongest army.
Yes.
And a new conscription bill is moving that closer.
That's interesting. Now, remember, after World War II, Germany kind of backed away from the military all that happened. And Japan's starting to rebuild again. So we're seeing the nations now building up their armies. We talk about wars and rumors of wars in the last days. Germany right now is still standing with Israel, at least their government is. So, but at the same time, I always remember the demonic entities in that region and how long can they be held back? And if you give a strong army to them again, where does this go? But again, remember, there's going to be eventually a strong army in Europe or whatever the Antichrist is going to be using. But anyway, this year, German Chancellor Friedrich Merz pledged to build Europe's strongest army, a tall order for a country whose military has undergone years of neglect. The coalition government is hoping a new bill agreed upon last week will help make this a reality, bolstering Germany's forces in the face of the perceived threat from Russia and a significant shift in U.S. foreign policy. The sweeping new reforms will see Germany attempt to boost its numbers from 180,000 to 260,000 active soldiers, in addition to an extra 200,000 reservists by 2035. It puts, I think, in time for, it says, with the in time for the rapture and the Antichrist. That's in italics. I'm not sure, but let's go on. In the first instance, the drive will focus on voluntary enlistment, and then we'll force you. I can't do it. You could do better German because you used to go there and talk to the. That was part of your job, was to go to Germany.
Yes, but where? So where are we?
Well, they would drive that will focus on voluntary enlistment with greater incentives for those who sign up or have you.
You will enlist and you will like it.
There we go. That's a lot. I can hear the heels clicking together. If the new quotas, you know, there's no place like Germany. Click your heels three times. Yep. If the new quotas are not met, the government will have the option of mandatory call-ups where necessary. It comes as the Trump administration warns that Europe must take responsibility for its own security. Russia's war in Ukraine continues to grind on, and experts on the region suggest Moscow could next invade a NATO state. So, again, they're seeing the aggression of Russia, and they're doing this. I get it. I'm not blaming them for building their military, but you wonder how is this going to play in the end times.
Well, you would think that they would try to do that through NATO. In my mind, you would think that they would try to build a stronger NATO.
Yeah, but think about that. How do you get everybody to work together?
Well, the Antichrist is going to.
I know, but you got to have somebody that right now they won't all work together. I mean, about the only aggressive thing you've seen that worked with NATO was Sharknado. And that's where, again, all the sharks got together and flew in and bit people.
Yes.
But other than that, you don't see much cooperation among NATO.
Right. Yeah. Except for the Finnish, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Because they didn't. Anyway. All right, our next story comes from the Times of Israel.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Because the shark died.
I'm
going to
silly
back
mood
into
today.
The water.
I apologize to our listeners.
That's okay. The Times of Israel article dated November 30th. I sure hope that he doesn't turn into another Pope Francis, but you never know. This is Pope Leo now. He's calling for, he says the call for two states is the only solution to the Palestinian conflict as he opens his Lebanon visit.
Yeah, you're going to continue to hear this banter from all areas because it is going to happen. The Antichrist is going to do this. Now, whether or not it happens before the Antichrist, we'll have to wait and see. But there will be a Palestine somewhere over there. The obvious place, well, there's two obvious places. The obvious place right now looks like Gaza would be the one they would say, let's just put the Palestinians there, make it a state because of all that just happened there. But their whole goal over the years has been what they call the West Bank, which is Samaria. It's ancient Israel, Samaria. But now we hear Pope Leo throwing in his two solutions worth. Pope Leo called the two-state arrangement the only solution. At least he didn't say the final solution.
No.
To resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, doubling down on the Holy See's candy. No, I'm sorry. Hold on. No. Doubling down, for those of you who don't know See's candy, they're really good.
That sounds delicious.
Yes. Doubling down on the Holy See's longstanding position in his first airborne news conference en route to Lebanon on Sunday. And I quote, we all know that at this time, Israel still does not accept that solution, but we will see it as the only solution. He said as he flew from Istanbul to Beirut for the second and final leg of his maiden voyage as Pope. We are also friends with Israel, and we are seeking to be a mediating voice between the two parties that might help them close in on a solution with justice for everyone, added the Pope, speaking in Italian. The problem is, God said the land belongs to Israel. And so when mankind starts getting involved and tries to give God's land away, they're in trouble. Now, God's going to let them do it. He's going to let the Antichrist or somebody do it temporarily. Mm-hmm. But it says that his fury is going to rise up in his face and he's going to deal with them. The first will be, of course, with Russia and Iran trying to come in and attack Israel and take the land.
Right.
And then again, after the Antichrist kind of secures this during the Great Tribulation, he's going to come back and wipe all those guys out and just start over in the Millennial Kingdom, which I can't wait for. But either way, be watching for articles like this because you're going to see more and more talk of this. And at some point, somebody's going to do it. Right now, Israel's not there, and they would almost have to be forced to do it. You wonder, could that have something to do with what happens with Russia and Iran? I doubt it. It could, because they're going to be coming in for different reasons. But either way, it's something to keep your eyes on.
Okay. And you might be prophetic there, Pastor Mark, because the founder of See's Candy, her name was Mary.
Was it really?
I think so. Mary See's.
I think there was a candy that... I better be careful.
Okay.
We're not going to go there.
Okay, we're not going to go there. All right, yeah. That's Pastor Mark, who wants to go there, but nevertheless, he's helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAMLP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast episode number 392, which is safer to listen to than riding in a speedboat near Venezuela. And now,
you've got mail.
We've got three questions this week, Pastor Mark. Our first one comes from Ken, enjoying signs of the times way up north in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and his question is regarding space travel, and probably because he lives so far away. Solomon wrote, "What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun, given that we have launched vehicles into space, do you think before the flood that they had the ability to travel into space? There are some alleged photos of structures on Mars and the moon. If those are legit, could they be past angelic civilizations?
You know, it's a very interesting subject. As a matter of fact, there are a couple of pictures on some of the ancient hieroglyphics in Egypt that look like a jet and a helicopter. I mean, it's like it probably was something else, but you look at it and you're like, okay, wait a minute, this is weird. Now, and let me say something else before I get to the answer. I know that people have the mindset that man started out dumb and we're getting smarter. The world does. It's this whole picture of the caveman.
It's pride, too.
And we've progressed, right?
Yes.
But God says it's the opposite. God says man started out at his peak of intelligence in the garden. We were the smartest.
Think about that.
We were the smartest we'll ever be in the garden, God says, is what the Bible says, because he created man perfect. Then the fall happened, and since then we've been getting dumber. And, of course, there's no evidence for that. But since then, we've been getting dumber and dumber and dumber because of sin is tainting our minds, sin is tainting our bodies, sin is tainting our world.
Our minds have been darkened, the Bible says.
So we're actually losing, I think, smartness and intelligence as time goes by. But now where people stumble to that is, but what about all the technology, computers and AI and all that? Look, that God says in the last days that's going to increase. Knowledge, I think, prophetically, and I think there's obviously an application to technologically as well now that we see what's literally happening. The reason that God scattered there at Babel, when the earth was all gathered together at Babel, it says God scattered them because anything they wanted to do, they could accomplish. So technology would have taken off back then. If God had allowed man to advance without God intervening and slowing it down, I think you'd have seen computers 2,000 years ago. Probably 3,000, 4,000 years ago. You'd have seen technology because the wisdom of man to do it has always been there. And actually, we were, I think, smarter back in ancient days. So, but God has restrained it because God has not allowed this to move forward because God knows if he does, either man would destroy himself or, the end times process is when God's allowing this. Well, God is now allowing it. Daniel 12 talks about knowledge increasing. Again, I think primarily it's prophecy. But then beyond prophecy, as I said, it also applies to, I think you can make an application to technology because of what we see happening. But either way, so did they have the ability? Yeah, they did. But did it happen? You know, Ken, let's first of all talk about the context. If you look at the context of what Solomon was saying, Solomon was not speaking technologically. Solomon was speaking about mankind in his nature and what mankind does as a human. So it's hard to really make the application of it being technology and saying maybe there was, we went to the moon or went to Mars and all these things. And then plus, there's no real evidence of that in the Bible. If you look prior to the flood, because that's when it would have had to happen, many believe. If you look prior to the flood, you know, with God talking about all that they did, you can see the technology had not really advanced that much. And what do I mean by that? Because it took, 120 years for Noah to build the ark. Now, that doesn't mean that technology couldn't have helped him in some way, but if we were already at such advanced technology, he probably could have done it much faster than 120 years using ancient methods and ancient ways, you know, without the electric saws.
Right,
and all that
exactly.
Stuff. And we have no evidence of what we can find in any of our digs or discoveries showing any type of
ancient aircraft.
Yeah, ancient aircraft or ancient equipment. We don't find any of that. So I think that probably there was not anything like that prior. Did mankind have the wisdom? I think mankind could have. If God had let them, yes. But I don't think we see any evidence to say that happened. We certainly don't see any biblical evidence. We don't see any evidence in the regular excavations and findings of that. So I would say in that context, what Solomon was talking about is mankind in general has always been the same and done all the same things, thought the same way, tried the same things. That is true. Nothing's new under the sun in the way that man has approached life. What is new is, again, I believe the technological explosion in the last days.
Which is prophetic.
Yeah, and so I think that's the difference there. I think it's a great observation, Ken. It really is, and I think it's a great question, and we'll find out for sure when we get into heaven, but I think the evidence would point to that's not the case. I think this is just a technological explosion in the last days as God is allowing it. And remember, he said, if God didn't intervene at some point, no flesh would be saved.
Yeah.
I think if God had allowed this to happen sooner,
think about it. We wouldn't be here right now.
If we had nuclear weapons for 2,000 years, we wouldn't be here right now. This has been God's grace that he's held it back, and God's going to hold it back until he comes back to take over. So I think that's probably the more likely answer.
Our next question, Pastor Mark, comes from Daniel, enjoying Signs of the Times just west of us in Farragut, Tennessee. Enoch went where is his question? When Jesus went to paradise, he held the keys to heaven. Was Enoch in paradise or was he in heaven after his rapture?
Yeah, and again, another great question, Daniel. And I want to just be honest about this, as honest as I can. There are different viewpoints. There are some that believe that throughout history, when mankind has died, even from the very beginning, they went right on into heaven. But I find many biblical difficulties with that. I don't believe personally that man went into heaven until after Jesus died on the cross and ascended. Because again, Jesus said he was the door into heaven. He died, he paid for man's sin, and it says that no sin can inherit heaven. So until sin was paid for, man couldn't go to heaven. So everything prior to the cross, no sin was paid for. This is where a lot of people don't understand. The animal sacrifices temporarily, the Bible says, temporarily covered your sins. For example, David's sins were temporarily covered. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their sins were temporarily covered, but their sins were not removed. Their sins were not taken away, because only, the Bible says this clearly, only the blood of Jesus can take away sins. So what did we do in between the time of mankind's creation and the cross? Well, sins were covered for those who believed in the promised Messiah who was to come. And if you believed in the promised Messiah who was to come, then the future blood would retroactively cover you once he came, and you'd be temporarily covered. And I believe that once he died on the cross, all sins were taken away. He's the door to heaven. He ascended, and now everybody goes into heaven. Now that when once he's died on the cross, you go straight to be with heaven. The question comes up, well, what happened to mankind prior to the door being opened to heaven? Because I don't believe, based on the scripture, that anybody went to heaven until after Jesus died on the cross. Because again, sin cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And sin was not covered until the blood. So what does that mean? Well, there had to be some place that souls went prior to the cross. And I believe the Bible gives the answer to that as well. So to answer your question, let me just first of all finish the whole picture here. The Bible says that when Jesus died, he descended to the heart of the earth for 3 days. He didn't go to hell. Hell's not even, nobody's even in hell yet. He went to a place called Hades or paradise, Abraham's bosom. It talks about that in Luke 16. He told the man on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And so we know that he hadn't gone back to heaven yet. That didn't happen until 43 days later, 3 days at the heart of the earth and 40 days on the surface of the earth as he came back and ministered. So they didn't go to heaven when that happened. They went to paradise. So where's paradise? When you read Luke 16, the Lord tells us about a place where Abraham was, and I believe all the Old Testament saints called paradise. It would appear to be a supernatural place that was in the center of the earth. It doesn't sound like it would be great down there, but God, being God, can make it a paradise. He made it a paradise. And it would appear that all the believers went to this paradise prior to the cross and lived in the heart of the earth during those thousands of years. Jesus descended at that time. And it says in Ephesians chapter 4, he led captivity captive. They were captive down there. Captivity was. Mm-hmm. He took them captive. And the Bible says he brought them back up with him, and he took them back up to heaven with him, and then he gave gifts to men. So that was the Lord descended. Hebrews talks about it. Peter talks about it. He preached to the spirits in prison. I believe he's talking about those down there when he was in the heart of the earth. He comes back up. They all go into heaven. So prior to Jesus, everyone went to a place called paradise. After Jesus, paradise was cleared out. And now when we die, we go straight to be with the Lord in heaven. So with that background, what about Enoch? Well, again, that would mean that Enoch did not go to heaven when he was raptured. He would have been raptured and taken to paradise. So the Lord's spirit was there. You know, again, mm-hmm. God was there with them. They weren't without God. God's presence was there in paradise. Don't get me wrong. So you would have been with the Lord in a sense of heaven. It would have been a heavenly place. But again, it wasn't yet the heaven we think of as heaven.
Yeah.
And another one is very interesting, because people often say, well, what about Elijah? It says he went up into the heaven, you know, and God took him, you know, and the chariot of fire and all that. Well, remember, the Bible talks about three different heavens. The Bible says that our atmosphere around the earth is what is called the first heaven. The stars and all that around that is the second. And yeah. The third is the abode of God. It doesn't say that he went to the third heaven. It says he was taken up into heaven, yeah. Which was the immediate atmosphere.
Yeah.
And what it would appear based on these other scriptures and the fact that no one could go to heaven and have sin on them, they hadn't yet been atoned for on the cross, he went up into the clouds, and once he disappeared, God took his spirit.
Yeah.
And then God took his spirit and probably put it in paradise, where he was there with Enoch and everyone else waiting, Abraham, Elijah, all those guys waiting on Christ to come. And then that's why but they didn't find his body, which I believe the Lord took his body and buried it, even as he did Moses' body. There's a whole other discussion there. But I believe that when the Lord went to the heart of the earth, they were all down there. Elijah, Enoch, all the Old Testament saints. And we don't know what he said specifically, but I'm sure there was a great rejoicing. Guys, yeah. I'm your Messiah, the one you believed in. Yeah. Here I am. And he spent 3 days down there, brought them back up after he resurrected. They came with him. By the way, that explains why people always wonder, how in the world, when Jesus resurrected, did certain people get up out of their graves and walk around? Well, the reason is there were apparently some that had just died. Yep. And their bodies were still intact. And so for whatever the reason, as they came back up out of paradise, the Lord allowed them to enter into their bodies and walk around Jerusalem. That's like, I'm so excited. Well, Lord, why did you do that? I don't know. But it explains a lot of things that are mysteries in the scripture.
Well, and another thing that's kind of mysterious in thinking about this, Pastor Mark, talking about this, is when Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
That's right.
He didn't say, I've got a place has already been prepared for
that's
you.
A,
I'm
one,
going
Greg.
To prepare.
What a great point, Greg. I've never thought about that that way, but that just adds to it. That's perfect. Because that just says it's not ready.
Yeah.
And it was ready 2,000 years ago. You know, once he died, he went and prepared it. Yeah. Because he would have instantly prepared it, being the Lord, and then everybody could enter. But it wasn't prepared prior to that, which means there was nowhere to go.
But we never think about it when we're reading it.
Yeah. That's really cool. No, that's great. And I think that's where we're coming from on that particular question.
All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from Chick here in Knoxville. Temple or no temple is the title for his question. He says, in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 43 to 47, it speaks of the temple in Jerusalem, where Jesus will reign for 1,000 years, or otherwise known as the millennial kingdom. In these chapters, no instructions were given to build this fourth temple, as were given with previous temples. Some commentators conclude that it is likely that God himself will build the temple. Zechariah 6:12 says, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Per Ezekiel 43:7, the Lord says, this temple will be the place of my throne and the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. Will this millennial temple continue into eternity? Revelation 21:22 does say no temple could be seen in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So how do we reconcile these verses? Will there or won't there be an eternal temple in heaven?
You know, I love our listeners. They are so well taught and educated. The questions we get are so good. And again, that's a great question, Chick. And I'm gonna try to lay this out the best I know how. And let me start with laying a foundation of what the temple's, because a lot of people just heard that and thought, wait a minute, I thought there were only a total of three temples forever. Most people think that, and most within the church think that. But the Bible does teach there will be four temples. And the first temple, of course, was Solomon's temple was built. Solomon's temple was the first temple that was built. And then came Zerubbabel. When they came back after they were taken captive, they came back and rebuilt Solomon's temple, but it was torn down. So they rebuilt Zerubbabel, rebuilt and headed up the spirit of the second temple.
Second temple.
And then, of course, it was added to and built onto, and it actually, you say, you know, it really was, even in Jesus' day, it was really still the second temple in Jesus' day. It was just added to. So that wasn't really a temple. But the Bible says in the last days, there will be a third temple that's going to be built, and that will be spearheaded by the Antichrist. Again, it will be a false temple. They will be doing the following the law, so it will be unacceptable to God. It will be a more of a demonic temple. It will not be a righteous temple. It will be during the Great Tribulation time and that final 7 years when the Antichrist is ruling and reigning. And by the way, they already have the blueprints drawn for that, and they say that they can finish production of the actual temple within 6 months. So it's very quick to go up with modern technology and all that goes with that. Now, with that said, then it talks about when the Lord comes back at the second coming, there will be a fourth temple. And you're right. It's interesting. We don't know how it's going to come together because the Bible isn't clear. But I will say this, Chick. It does give us the dimensions. It doesn't tell us how they would build it, but it does give the dimensions. It says this many, you know, rods, or this many rods, this many cubits. It gives all the dimensions, and you can do that in feet and find out the size of it and draw it up and that kind of stuff to some degree. But again, many believe that indeed it will be Jesus spearheading that, either leading it or building it himself somehow, or speaking it, or however. We'll see. We'll find out. But that will be a fourth temple that will be during the millennial kingdom. And the reason there's going to be a temple during the millennial kingdom, there will still be sacrifices, believe it or not. We could get into a long theological discussion as to why. But many believe God is going to give the Jews that didn't do it the right way while the temple was here, another opportunity to work in this temple and do it the right way for 1,000 years. There will not be sacrifices for our sin. Jesus did that, so nothing blasphemous there. It's just there won't be that. But there will be the ritual sacrifices for the Jews doing it the right way and for the feasts and all that kind of thing. There'll be a lot of food, a lot of eating, and that kind of stuff. So I don't want to get sidetracked on that because we'd use the rest of the broadcast up. But that will be during the millennial kingdom. Now, your question here, Chick, you came to the end saying, wait a minute, how can this be? Because it talks about there'll be no temple in Revelation 21. You're exactly right. But now here's the difference. It's your timeline that needs to be understood a little better. At the end of the 1,000-year reign, when you get into Revelation 21, which he's saying there's no temple there, that's he creates the new heaven and the new earth. So this old earth is going to be destroyed, which means the fourth temple, all the earth and everything here, all the elements, the stars, yeah, everything's gone. Wiped out.
Yep.
He'll build a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. It says there in Revelation 21, which is what you're referring to there at the very end. And in the new heaven and new earth, there will be no temple because it says the Lord our God will be the temple. So he himself will be the glory, and that's yes. where he's. It's going to be a wonderful, beautiful thing. So that's how it's going to work. You got a third temple coming with the Antichrist. Then you've got that being destroyed at the Lord's return, and a fourth temple built for the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. Then you got the entire earth and everything destroyed at the end of that. In Revelation 21, a brand new heaven, a brand new earth, and then no temple in that because the Lord our God will be the temple himself. So can't wait for that day,
yes.
man.
I'm ready excited. For the,
yes,
talking
me too,
about
the
it.
Rapture. I'm ready for that. This whole thing's going to be, once that rapture yes. takes place, man, this thing kicks in. It's just going to be fun forever and ever and ever. I can't wait.
I know. All right. If you've got a question for Pastor Mark, it's real easy. You just go to thewaymedia.net, click Signs of the Times, and you can see where you can send Pastor Mark your prophecy question and read our frequently asked questions. All right, as Signs of the Times rolls on, we're going to roll right into some growing anti-Semitism. Our first article, courtesy of All Israel News, dated November 20th. Terrorist-affiliated activists incite violence and chant death to the IDF in front of a New York City synagogue.
Okay, remember the two things I said would happen after the election of Mondami? Two
yes.
things I said is going to happen. One is you're going to see a great boldness of the terrorist side of the world, and you're going to see a great boldness among the Muslims and Islam in attacking Jews and attacking Israel. That's going to be the first thing you're going to see. Secondly, you're going to see pressure turned up on the Jews because God said he's going to bring them back to their homeland in the last days. He's going to bring them home. Some of them have gone home. Some of them are stubborn. They don't want to go back because they don't know God yet. They don't know why they should. He's going to push them back. And so this is going to begin, and I believe this is part of the process of driving the Jews out of not only New York City, but New York State, which is the highest amount of Jews anywhere in the world in one place.
Is there outside of Israel.
Yeah, 1.6 million in New York State.
Yeah.
So they're going to be almost a million just in New York City. So they're going to be driving them. I think this is part of the process of seeing them driven out and driven back to Israel, which is going to happen in the last days where God will pour out his spirit. They'll come to know the Messiah, and this whole end times process is going to begin. So God's going to keep his promises. Now, the interesting thing is, while they're doing this, Greg, they're driving the Jews back to Israel, and that's the thing they don't want to do. They want to drive them out of, they want to kill them.
Right.
And they want this Palestinian thing and no Jews. But listen to what it says. Around 200 pro-Hamas activists, many masked and wearing kippahs, gathered outside Manhattan's Park East Synagogue on Wednesday night, chanting death to the IDF. We don't want no Zionists here. Well, they said good English. And resistance, you make us proud. Take another settler out. To the beat of a drum. Have you noticed all these weirdo events always have a drum? They've always playing drums at these things. The New Age events always have drums. These crazy spiritual events always have drums. And the Palestinian things always have drums. There's something about drums and the demonic realm that link up. I'm not sure what it is, but anyway. The crowd shouted, from New York to Gaza, globalize the infantata. Inside the synagogue, Nefesh Benefesh, an organization that assists Jews in making Aliyah, so they're trying to help the Jews go back to leave New York, was holding an event about immigration to Israel.
So, okay? Which is what they want. Yeah,
it's what they want, but they don't want.
Yeah,
listen to what it says. The radical protesters admitted that the purpose of the disturbance outside the synagogue was to terrorize and harass the Jews inside. They said this, and I quote: "It is our duty to make them think twice before holding these events. That is, events to going back to Israel." We need to make them scared. Scared about what? About going back to Israel.
Yeah.
We need to make them scared. We need to make them scared, they said three times. One of the militants leading the chants told the crowd. So they're in this dilemma. They want to drive them out of New York, but they don't want them to go to Israel. But if they drive them out of New York, guess where they're going to go? And now, not all of them. Some of them are going to stay here, but a lot of them are going to be driven back to Israel. But notice this. They said, globalize the infantata. What they're saying is that we never said we wanted it global. This is just for Palestine. Listen to this. Newly elected mayor Zoran Mondami last year defended the chant of globalize the infantata. He said it was fine, which was used at Wednesday's protest. Again, when your leader's saying it's okay, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And he said only said he would discourage it after coming under massive pressure. He would only discourage saying the globalize the infantata after the election was about to be, you know, done.
Yeah.
So don't deceive yourself. He's a full-on Muslim. He wants the Jews out of here. He doesn't want them in Israel. And my guess is he'd want them destroyed because that's what Islam teaches, to kill all the Jews. I mean, Islam teaches kill all the Jews and kill all the Christians unless they convert to Islam. Or unless you pay this high tax, which they say eventually even the tax you can't get out of it. You either convert or die in the last days, etc. So that's their ultimate goal. So you're going to see more and more of this kind of stuff. New York, let me tell you, at the first of the year, when he takes over, whatever day that is, you're going to see Muslims everywhere. You're going to see streets blocked with Muslim prayer. You're going to hear the calls to prayer. It's all going to start. Yep. I'm telling you right now, be ready for it. That's what we've elected. That's what we've brought. And again, it's because we have turned from God as a nation, and now we're paying the consequences. We need to repent if there's any hope for our nation whatsoever.
Our next article comes from the Times of Israel, dated November 22nd. This according to a Jewish community saying that anti-Semitism has reached a record high in the Czech Republic last year.
Yes. Well, again, and we include these in here. I know we talk a lot about these, but again, we're seeing it spread worldwide. Remember, we're told, Jesus told them in Matthew 24, the Jewish people, and we see in the book of Zechariah that the whole world is going to turn against them. And now in the Czech Republic, just know, Jews, if you're there in Prague, your check will bounce. Anti-Semitic incidents in the Czech Republic reached record levels last year amid Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza, the country's Jewish community said on Friday. In its annual report, the Federation of the Jewish Community said that it registered almost 8.5% up from the previous year. In 2023, the reports jumped by 90% following the Hamas attacks against Israel. Now get this, Israel gets attacked and brutalized and people hate them more. Tell me this is not spiritual.
Exactly.
There is no logic. There's no reason. This is like somebody shoots a bunch of people and then they blame all the people that were shot and they thank the guy that shot them. It's insanity.
Yeah.
Petra Papusic, head of the Federation of Jewish Communities in the Czech Republic, said that his country was no exception to a global explosion wave of anti-Semitism which erupted immediately after the Hamas attack. And I quote, "The unifying element is hatred of Israel. Even as Pilate and Herod unified that day when they used to be enemies on hatred over Jesus, they are unifying over hate." I'm not comparing the Jews to Jesus. I'm saying the Lord made his promises to the Jews. So because of Jesus, they hate them. The unifying element is hatred of Israel, which works with the motives, narratives, conspiracies, and myths of traditional anti-Semitism, he said. So again, watch this. You're going to see more and more in the coming year, more and more anti-Semitic things, more and more hatred, more and more Jews moving back to Israel because God's going to bring them back and pour out his spirit, and they're going to be saved. It's exciting. It's rough on them coming up, but it's going to be exciting in the long run. Where'd you get that robe and that hat? Look so regal.
I got it from the First Church of the Apostates.
Yeah, see, you have an outfit for every segment. People don't know that at home, but it's really impressive. You look great, Greg. You look great.
Yeah. We'll be visiting the Hawaiian Islands next.
Yes.
All right. This is from Fox News. A study finds childhood faith conversions predict adult practice.
Yeah, this is just basic common sense for the believer, but what a convicting article for us as parents. The bottom line is we need to be raising our kids in the Lord at home and teaching them the Word of God at home. Don't just do it at church. Don't expect the church leaders to do it. Dad, you and mom, you're responsible. And if you do, there's a great eternal result. Listen to what it says. A new study suggests a person's connection to faith may start at home. I'm not going to say suggest. It's true. They can say suggest, but not at church. Communio, a nonprofit that uses data-driven ministry and practical tools to strengthen families, partnered with Harvard to study how childhood faith experiences shape Christians later in life. In 2024, the Pew Research Center reported that 28% of U.S. adults were religiously unaffiliated. Communio sought to identify the key factors behind generational faith and how parents can pass their faith to their children. Communio's survey found that simply talking about faith in childhood can shape how children live as adults. And I quote, past research has shown that the growth in religious non-affiliation is the result of generational succession, meaning each younger generation is, on average, less religious than the first. If you don't keep your kids trained up in the Lord, they're going to fall away. That is human nature. It's sin nature. We know this. It says, on the fundamental level, the so-called rise of the nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S, is the result, that is, they don't have anything they believe in, is the result of older generations being less effective at sharing the gospel with younger ones. J.P. DeGlance said at a glance, J.P. DeGlance, founder of the president of Communio, the author of The Pastor's Guide, said this, or that's what he said. No, he said, so anyway. A survey of more than 16,000 church-going adults found regular childhood conversations about faith to be one of the strongest predictors of practicing faith in adulthood. Churchgoers who had regular conversations about faith in childhood reported higher forgiveness towards those who hurt them and a greater sense of belonging to their church community, according to the survey. But guys, here's the bottom line. Moms and dads, hear me on this. The survey found exactly what the Bible says is going to be true. Number one, we have the responsibility to train up the next generation. And if we don't do it aggressively, they're going to be following God less than we are. So mom and dad, how much are you following God right now? How hard are you pressing after Christ? I hope a lot, but just think, be honest with yourself right now. How hard am I pressing after Christ? Your children are going to press after him less unless you take aggressive action to change that course. It's up to the parents and mainly the dad. Here's the bottom line. I agree with the article. If dads kick in and lead their homes in the Lord and teach their kids in the Lord, you're going to find these kids are going to be seeking the Lord when they become adults. What is the? It's a biblical principle. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart. There may be a season there where where'd they go? But God's going to bring them back. So moms and dads, get out there and, again, train up your kids in the Lord. We need to be aggressive about it.
Blaze Media has an article dated December 2nd that says, chatbot Jesus is a digital fake, and churches are falling for it.
You talk about playing with fire. Why in the world would you give your congregation and your people and encourage them to go to a computer Jesus? I mean, again, there's only one Jesus. Could this have something to do with false many Jesuses or false messiahs will come in the last days? I don't know. But artificial intelligence now offers a chatbot Jesus. Again, first of all, look, there's only one Jesus, guys. He alone has the Holy Spirit. These are robots. They're computers. They give personalized prayers, AI-generated sermons, and even virtual pastors changing monthly fees, charging monthly fees. You get a virtual pastor for a charge. Can you imagine? We don't have a pastor right now, so look up at the screen and good morning. We are glad you're here. And just come on. Some see these tools as a lifeline for shrinking congregations. You know why the congregations are shrinking? Because they're not teaching the Word of God. And they think that that some fake AI robot's going to do it. Others claim they offer new ways to evangelize. Look, I'm sure that you can use AI to evangelize in some ways as technology goes, but it's people that have to do it, and the Holy Spirit's the only one that can. The article goes on. The church must speak plainly. We're not called to relevance. We're called to righteousness. Scripture commands believers to test all things and hold fast what is good. People are not abandoning faith because the church lacks modern technology. They're leaving because they're starving for the truth in the age of deception. Yeah, you're not feeding them the Word of God. Trouble begins when technology imitates divinity.
Amen.
Yes, an app that invites people to talk with Jesus steps into territory Scripture reserves only for the living God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, John 10:27. Only the Lord speaks with the authority of Matthew 24:35, where he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. No chatbot can make that claim. The danger becomes obvious when apps offer simulated conversations with Judas or Satan. Think about that. Listen, God forbids consulting spirits, mediums, or conjured voices.
Exactly.
In Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you're talking to demons here. Why would the church encourage digital recreations of what Scripture calls an abomination? It just shows you, Greg, how far the church has fallen. Remember, the last days, there'll be a falling away. And so we've got to make sure we're not those that fall away. We've got to hold firmly to the truth of God and stand in that, because it's going to get worse and worse in the last days. Pastors, stand firm in righteousness and teaching the truth of God faithfully in line with the Scriptures.
Well, if this pastor would only listen to you, Pastor Mark, we wouldn't have this next story.
Oh, my goodness.
This is from Fox News, dated September 2nd. New York pastor reveals his transgender transition plans during a church service.
Unbelievable. A Methodist pastor in New York. This is a false prophet, guys. This is a wolf. He revealed last week's plans to transition into a woman and identifies now as asexual. First of all, you can't transition from a man to a woman. That's just a lie. You're being lied to. It comes down to the X and Y chromosomes. Yep. You can have all the surgeries you want. You can change your clothes. You can put on makeup. You can put whatever.
You Who you are is in your DNA.
It is, you either are X and X chromosomes, which makes you a woman, or your X and Y chromosome, which makes you a man. You cannot change it. And that might make people upset. But God designed it where he alone decides the gender. Reverend Philip Fanouf of North Chile United Methodist Church in Rochester, and again, anyway, made the announcement during a November 23rd Sunday service. The personal update was delivered from the pulpit while wearing a rainbow stole. So I get to announce with joy that I'm transitioning, he said. I'm affirming all of you that I'm a transgender. The best way to put this is I'm not becoming a woman. I'm just quitting pretending to be a man. I get this whole deception that they have. He told Fox Digital Tuesday that details of the transition process are accurate, and the community has been extremely welcoming. Isn't that sad? Of course, it says a lot about where certain areas of the Methodist Church are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Since coming out of my congregation, they've been overwhelmingly affirming. Again, these are people that don't know the Lord. They're not taught the Word of God. They're not standing on the Word of God, and it's just very sad. I'm not saying that all Methodists are deviating from the truth. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, look, there are some saved Methodists, on fire Methodists, loving the Lord Methodists, and they're living for Christ and doing a great work, and I've met
them. Around the world.
I've met them, yes. So I'm not putting everybody in one box. I'm saying the Methodist church movement, though, as a whole, has gone this way, and it doesn't surprise me you would see this kind of thing in the Methodist movement, and it doesn't surprise me that you'd see people saying, well, that's okay. I really believe, look, unless God has called you to remain in that movement, to be a light, and he gives you a way to do it, I encourage you to get out. Find a place that's teaching and believing the Word of God, because they're leading their flocks astray. And there's going to be a day we stand before Christ, and it's not going to be about what church you went to. It's going to be, did you believe the Word of God, and what did you do with the Jesus of the Bible?
Right. All right, Pastor Mark, we've only got time for one little weird stuff before our show ends rapidly.
We go over 5 minutes, right?
No, we're going up to our regular time.
Gotcha. Yeah, we had some technical issues here, so we're talking on the air. Okay, good. I want to know. It's good for me to know. All right, here we go.
All right, so Fox News, November 22nd, police helicopter forced to dive after unidentified objects at an RAF base in England.
Yeah, and these last two articles talk about these, you know, a UFO, whatever.
UFO
I'll make a quick comment here.
Yeah.
Newly released police logs and video footage contradict official explanations of a near collision between a UK copter and an unidentified aerial object. The encounter authorities had previously dismissed as a routine fighter jet sighting, but now they're saying, no, it wasn't. There was something we can't explain. According to the documents obtained through Britain's Freedom of Information Act, the flight forced a National Police Air Service helicopter to take emergency evasive action after reporting that two fast-moving craft targeted and pursued the aircraft. Now, they say, like, later at the end, it says the logs describe 10 to 15 drones potentially in the base airspace. So that one gives us, says maybe they were drones. The next article we don't have time for talks about this new article, this new documentary called Age of Disclosure that's coming out. And again, Marco Rubio, another respected leader, Gregor, saying, hey, these things are real. Something's going on. Listen, guys, you're going to see more of this in the last days. It's demonic deception. It is real, but you know what it is? It's real demonic. It's demons. We'll talk more about it on a different broadcast. I think we're about out of time, and something's going to take over, so God bless you guys.
We are all out of time, but unfortunately, it's playing Christmas music, and our outro song, who knows where it went, so
let's enjoy the Christmas music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
God bless you guys. Merry Christmas early. Have a great Christmas time, and again,
Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be easily broken.
We're trained professionals. Yes. Go with the flow.
Go with the flow. And go with the flow with us next Friday at 1:30 when we enjoy more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM. In the meantime, enjoy some Amy Grant right here on WIAM. So here's my life long.